Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reese.
Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Hold on just a second. Bear with me just a minute. So sorry for the delay, guys. Hold on just a moment.
That's okay.
Hello, Amy.
Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear us now?
So, anyways, let's try this again.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Your microphone was gone. I'm sorry. It's like went away. I'm like, wait, where are you? Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Hey, good Monday evening, everybody.
Is it Monday?
Paranormal Collaboration with your hosts, Bill and Chris Reap. And yes, it is Monday. It's the only way I know what day of week it is.
We only know one day of the week.
Monday.
You know, it's great to have you join tonight.
Oh, bite me.
you're using that broken leg thing, so, you know.
Bitch, go do the dishes.
I did.
I know you did.
You know, so we're excited because we're, you know, continuing our haunted locations through across the country. And this is one on our bucket list that we need to get. So I'm excited about talking to Lori and her daughter, Brooke, about their historically haunted location, the Wildwood Sanitarium in New York.
Yes, in fact, this is on the Haunted Trail.
Yes, it is.
Listed on that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, how I have a thing about sanitariums, maybe because I belong in one.
Well, yeah. Don't worry, if there were one open, I'd put you in it.
Well, this was a holistic before
it was. It was. They didn't take any contagious or... oh, crap. I lost the other word I was looking for. Infection. Jesus. It was alcoholism, drug addiction, mental health issues. And not a huge place either.
You know, but it's filled with paranormal activity. And, you know, we have our producer, Amy Green, telling us, hey, our mic isn't on. But then I hear it say, then I hear it say unmuted, which she had us muted,
yeah,
but that's okay.
Well, you know, she's been in New Orleans. She's still recovering.
She's still recovering from Mardi Gras.
So but you know what? We're sitting here and we're telling everyone a little bit about Wildwood. But, you know, who better to tell everyone about Wildwood than Lori and Brooke Agatha?
Absolutely.
From Wildwood Sanitarium.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, it's great to have you guys on the show.
Yep, thank you for having us.
Oh no, we've been looking forward to this. We want to know all there is to know about Wildwood Sanitarium. Fascinating on our list to come out and visit, and hopefully we get out there this year. But it sounds like such an incredible place. Everyone we've spoken to who's been there has said that they've had an incredible experience and that the place is totally amazing. So,
it kind of takes people by surprise as to how much activity is there.
What got you involved? A little background about you, Lori.
Basically, I've been doing the paranormal stuff for at least 10, 12 years now. Kind of how we started out with our interest is my daughter Brooke, actually, when she was only like 2-3 years old, we had went on a camping trip, and I had woke her up in the morning, and I said to her, "Brookie, how did you sleep on your first night of camping?" And she sat up in the bed, and she said, "Mommy, Uncle Bob came through the window and told me not to be scared." And I really didn't know what to say to that comment. My brother had committed suicide many years before that, and I never talked about him. He had been gone for quite a while, and so she didn't even know I had a brother. And when I had gotten home, I asked her if his picture was hanging on the wall in our house, and she pointed right to his picture.
Over
time, over the years, she kept seeing more things, seeing spirits, and I encouraged her, and it was pretty difficult, you know, at times with her in school because she'd see things, and even like in high school, there was an instance where in her social studies class, she would see a man that was a spirit that talked about being in Vietnam and talked about eating bologna sandwiches. And, you know, she could only see this spirit, you know, no one else could in the room. And just over time, you know, we did that. And then when she got out of an age where she was old enough, we started getting into the ghost hunting. And it really helped her because she could develop her abilities, and yet she could, you know, relate to people that were into the paranormal field and stuff because she was seeing these things. And, you know, it helped her in her courage and stuff, and not thinking she was crazy or nuts or needed medication or whatever that she was seeing this stuff. For instance, we did one ghost hunt up in Buffalo, and while we were there, she told me, she's like, "Mom, there's a woman standing here, and she's got blood coming down her face, and she said that she's been stabbed in the face." Oh. Come to find out that she had been stabbed in the face. And as I mentioned that, there was actually a man that worked in this building, and he himself, like, turned white as a ghost, and he's like, "I've worked here for over 20 years. And he said quite a few years back there was a couple that came here to attend a wedding reception, and the woman had disappeared, and they couldn't find her, And 2 days later, they found her body in a creek behind the building, and she had been stabbed in the face." And nobody knew that. Yeah, nobody kind of knew that. And they said, you know, that part of it wasn't put in the papers or anything, that just her, that she had been found or whatever. But she picked up that spirit in that place. And it's kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of like that no matter where she goes.
What was the location?
But anyway. That's just kind of our background, is how we got into the paranormal field.
Lori.
Yeah.
What location was that in Buffalo?
What was the name of the place? Was it Dompolsky's? Yeah, it was the Dompolsky building in Buffalo.
Okay, wow. That's yep. Amazing. You know, and Brooke.
Yep.
At a young age, you started seeing spirit.
Yep.
And you were encouraged by your mom, which I applaud her for doing that. So many parents say, "Stop talking to the imaginary friend."
Yeah.
How you know, how tell me a little bit about, you know, what you were feeling and how you work with and control this gift.
She didn't mention, so actually we were on a paranormal investigation one time at the same location, Don Polsky, actually, and we were talking to another young lady, and she started talking about how she was going to a psychic academy to learn how to develop her skills and stuff. So we ended up kind of laughing it off, like, there's not a thing for that. And then, well, come to find out, there is. So we kind of looked into it and stuff, and I actually attended Ivy League Psychic Academy up in Williamsville. And there, I mean, she helped me develop skills, but also taught me a lot of tips and tricks to kind of control it.
Okay. And you know, how do you use your gift? Do you use it just for the paranormal? Have you used it to help, you know, gather some of the information on the property that you and your mom have?
Yes, I always use it for that. It's always fun going on a ghost investigation to a new place because I love seeing new spirits and being able to. I actually was told by a psychic medium at a young age that I had a gift to be able to see how buildings were in the past, like just how they would have looked, and sometimes what I would say would match up with pictures and stuff like that, so that would be really cool. But also, I've done psychic fairs. I'm actually a Reiki healer for animals and people. I read angel cards and stuff like that. I just do a little bit of everything with it.
And, you know, how long have you been using your gift?
Maybe about 6 years around. I mean, I would see stuff, but I wouldn't be, like, trying to see anything. It would just kind of happen. Like, I was probably in middle school, and I actually got mono. I was very sick. I would not go to school. I couldn't get out of bed. And I just kind of gave up. And actually, my Uncle Bob that my mom was talking about, I remember him walking into the door and telling me that everything was going to be okay. So that's kind of something that happened that I wasn't trying to get, but I got. And I was really happy to receive that message at that time.
Now, do you remote view as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could remote view and see, you know, can you see floor plans of old buildings through remote viewing?
I've never really, like, tried to do something like that too much. I really like actually going to the places and experiencing it. I have to, like, touch stuff. I'm a really touchy person.
You know what? That's an amazing gift to be able to. You intrigue me. I am an architecture kind of crazy person. I love taking pictures of old beams and weird pieces.
Yeah.
That you see, you know, like the star plates you'll see in a wall where they repair, mm-hmm. you know, but a lot of people don't know what they are, and that's, you know, they're repairing and, reshoring up walls and where they join brick and add it on. And I love looking
yeah.
at that old stuff. So having a gift like yours would be amazing because you'd be able to actually
yeah.
see, you know, what the building actually or the structure actually looked like.
Yeah.
But
actually, my coolest experience with that gift was we were at the Buffalo Terminal, and we were up on, I believe it was the second floor. And I walked into this one room. It wasn't cleaned up at all. It was one of the rooms that the tours normally don't go in or anything. And I started just kind of focusing on the room, and all of a sudden I just kind of clicked. I started seeing crystal chandeliers, a big, like meeting table, like one of those really long ones, and I saw a fountain in the corner. And what's funny about this is then my mom, Lori, turned on her flashlight because we were in the pretty much the pitch darkness. I mean, we only had
the electric doesn't work up there.
Yeah, so we didn't have any light or anything. And so she turned on her flashlight, and there was actually a pipe going down in the corner from where there would have been water coming up.
Oh, wow.
And then we dug in a little deeper, and actually, outside of that door, there was a picture of what that room used to be, and everything that I said was right.
Wow. It's always nice to have validation.
Yeah. It's always nice.
So you have multiple gifts. What is your strongest gift? And let's, for those who don't know, how old are you?
I'm actually 17.
Okay. And so what's your strongest gift at the moment?
Well, I'm kind of out of touch because a lot of people don't know. I actually have a 10-month-old son. So I kind of backed away a little because I talk to mediums all the time. All of our friends are mediums and stuff. And they told me, because I was going hard while I was pregnant, I was ghost hunting, doing readings, everything I could, because I still wanted to help people out and everything. Well, I was told that I need to step back and that I need to kind of relax it a little bit, because when you're pregnant or have something major like that, you really can get yourself in a lot of trouble. But right now, I think, I don't know what I would say my strongest ability is right now. But I am noticing abilities in my son actually already. He does this thing where he'll, like, be looking one way, and then all of a sudden he'll just fly his head around like he was looking at something. Or sometimes he'll be looking at his closet in his bedroom, and he'll just start bawling, and he will not stop staring at the closet. We actually have to take him out of the bedroom.
Oh, wow.
And then he stops crying.
And then he's fine. So that's been an adventure.
Lori, do you have gifts as well?
It's one of those deals where I think I had them when I was younger, and then kind of dismissed it. And then when my daughter started taking classes, when I was sitting there listening to what the teacher was saying and that, I was like, yeah, that describes me. Yeah, that describes me too. And I ended up also taking classes there too.
Well, that's awesome.
I also want to mention, too, that we also have taken classes and been involved with Lilydale a little bit, too. We're invited to a psychic circle by a certain psychic that is at Lilydale, and they only take people in that you actually have to get invited to be in his group.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really cool experience for both of us. But, yeah, we like I said, we've always had a thing for the paranormal, too, and that's kind of what drew us to the sanitarium. I actually wasn't even looking to buy a place.
I'm interested
how I came across it. How I came across it was I had a couple friends that worked at a gas station downtown in Salamanca, and I walked in the door, and they're like, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Are you still into the ghost hunting? I'm like, yeah, why? Did you know the Wildwood Sanitarium's for sale? I had no clue what they were even talking about. And like a lot of the locals, like you said, with the history behind a building, it kind of over time, the history part gets lost, and people don't even realize sometimes what a building was at one time. They gave me directions to go look at it, and I pulled in front of it, and I just couldn't believe the place. It's like, oh my God, look at this place. A lot of the locals only know it as the old stone house. They don't even realize it was a sanitarium at one time.
How does the community view, because it's not a large town, how do they view and we'd be doing paranormal investigations there and things like that.
Like with the neighbors and stuff?
Yes.
So far, the neighbors have been really great. They know what we're doing there. Most of them believe that there's something after death and have had experiences. One lady across the road said she had a friend that used to live on the third floor when it was an apartment, and she would come home from work and her furniture would be moved around. And she just got to the point where she got kind of tired of it and ended up moving elsewhere. There's another lady that lives across the road from me. She was just thrilled to death that somebody bought it that's going to fix it up and take care of it and take care of the yard. She was just ecstatic. And they're all really sweet. They've even, like, seen us working outside or working in the house, and they'll bring us cookies or something cute like that. We're really trying to be really involved with the community. We're actually going to be doing an Easter egg hunt for the little kids. I mean, we did Halloween, and we really try to be involved in the community.
You know, there's so many locations, you know, that, you know, there's always that one house in the neighborhood that nobody wants to, you know, go near. And was that kind of property?
Yeah. I've had more than one person, like I'll be working out in the yard or something, and they'll pull over real slow and they'll be like, "Do you own this place?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." And they'd say, "I was always creeped out by this house because I'd drive by it and I know nobody was home or nobody was living in it. And I would see like a man standing in the window or a face in the window," or, you know, I get a lot of that.
Wow.
Now, you have this location. What made you, you know what, Amy, let's take a short break. Okay. And I have some questions that I want to get into a little bit more about the house. So let's take a short break.
Okay.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. We are proud to have one of our sponsors, Electric Light Dowsing Rods. They are amazing.
They're so cool to work with.
You know, our good friends developed these great rods that are simply incredible. They come in all different
colors and two sizes, 18-inch, 13-inch. And they work so smoothly. The handholds are ball bearings. The rod is set in ball bearing handles, so they move very smoothly. There's no playing around with beads.
They're dragging. Yeah, they're set into that ball bearing setup, and it's amazing. You know, it's a precision ball bearing handle.
Right.
And the guys at North Canton Paranormal Detectives created these rods. If you haven't seen them, check them out on Amazon.com, Electric Light Dowsing Rods at Amazon.com. Get yours today. They're awesome. They even come with a scabbard. Chris had it on. She was running around like Xena the other day.
Well, they're really cool to
use.
Actually,
she was rolling in her wheelchair, but...
I haven't been in a wheelchair, thank God. But it's really cool when you're working with a group and you're in the dark, you know, standard dowsing rods, you're sitting there and you got to say, "Oh, they just moved," or "They did this," or you have to have light on. With these, you don't need to have the lights on. You can be holding these and anyone in the room with you can see them moving because they're lit up. So you can see what the rods are doing. So you have...
You can even set them to flash.
Yeah, they can flash too, but, you know. Last time I flashed a ghost, I was asked to stop doing that.
So we got, they come in yellow, blue, orange, green, and pink. So get your electric light dowsing rods today from our good friends at North Canton. And check them out on Amazon.com today. We'll be right back after this short break.
Let the bodies hit the floor. us high society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls. They're fat big balls, and they're fancy big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls of all.
And my balls are always bouncing, and my ballroom always full. And everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, oh, I've got big balls. And I've got big balls, dirty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
Some balls are held for charity and some for fancy dress. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls.
There we
okay,
go.
We're back.
Well, that was quick.
It was. That was a quick minute.
You know, we were just over a minute. We're back.
They were just getting to my favorite part of the song, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reed. Tonight, our guests are Lori and her daughter, Brooke, and they are the owners of the Wildwood Sanitarium. The Wildwood Sanitarium is on the Haunted Trails.
Haunted History Trail of New York.
And, you know, an amazing location that we've talked to many, many people when we were just recently out in Geneseo. A lot of people were telling us, hey, have you gone to the Wildwood Sanitarium? And, you know, we said no. You know, we've been to Hinsdale and, you know, the Avon Inn and places like that, but never got to here. And when, you know, about a year and a half ago, when we started seeing more and more about your place, we kept saying, we got to get there. And you know, it's sad because the stuff that's the closest to us
is the stuff
we never get to go to.
Like, hey, we need to go here. Okay, where is it?
Iowa.
It's only 8 hours away. Nevada, Florida. You want to go somewhere in your backyard? Yeah, at some point we can find a time to do that.
And it took us 10 years to get to Fort Mifflin.
True.
So, Lori and Brooke, we'll see you in 2024.
But hey, once we've been there, you can't get rid of us. Yeah, we keep coming back.
Yeah, if we have a good time, it's always a place to go, and we love bringing crazy.
Is there
people.
Any place we go that we don't have a good time?
No.
I've never been with you guys and didn't have a good time.
Says to the woman who had more beads than anyway.
You leave Mardi Gras out of this.
I wasn't talking about Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras.
Yeah, those great
bag of beads from
Amy. Yeah, an investigation where we all got beads. Anyway. So, you know, Lori and Brooke, welcome back. Lori, you were telling us a little bit about how you were out working in the yard and a car slowly drove up and was, you know, gave you a little bit of a story that they experienced, you know, on their drive by the location. Now, are there a lot of little local legends about the sanitarium that are kind of creepy?
It's kind of hard to trace back, actually, because so much time went by since it was the sanitarium, because a lot of those people are gone now. So it's more stories of, oh yeah, you know, my grandfather told me this, or, you know, it's more kind of a passed down kind of thing because of the time frame of,
now,
you know, how long has gone by. So
and what's the history? When was that building built?
Okay. As far as the sanitarium goes, when I went down to the county building and traced it back on paper, it said that it was built in 1900. But I talked to a historian, and she said that building is much older than that. A lot of times when they don't know the exact date, they just kind of put a date down. In one old newspaper article that I found, it said that they two doctors, osteopathy doctors, a Dr. John Henderson and a Dr. Carol Perry, they went in together on buying the building, and they had went to osteopathy school in Kirksville, Missouri, and that's kind of where they met, and it was kind of their dream to open up a sanitarium. They bought it in 1903, and it they said they were waiting for the previous tenants to move out, so it was somebody owned it before that. So it took them a couple years to do the renovations that they wanted to do, and it actually opened up as the sanitarium in 1906. But they said the most renovations they were going to do to the building was basically they were building a bathhouse in the basement where they were going to have cold baths, hot baths, and something called electric battery baths.
Oh, my.
So
wow.
I kind of tried to research what that was, and they actually did have electricity hooked to bathtubs. And there was different forms of that, too. But, yeah, that's kind of scary because back then is when they believed in the whole electric shock therapy. And
absolutely.
You know, they had the steam bath cabinets. They had, you know, I have some pictures of a couple different things they had in there, too, that I actually found. They had a light bath therapy cabinet, too, which is kind of almost like a tanning bed of the time. It's some pretty neat stuff. It was a place, they were big into the holistic healing, which I think for that time era, they were almost like ahead of their time, because
yeah.
Now it's kind of almost going back to that now. They said, you know, you could come to our place, you know, and get rid of your drug addiction. You could, we'll heal you of your alcohol addiction. We'll cure you of, you know, your mental issues. You know, they also dealt with, say, like if a person had an injury in a hospital, but they weren't ready to go home yet, they would treat them there. Or chronic illnesses that perhaps, you know, they couldn't take care of themselves at home, or the family couldn't take care of them, they could come to the sanitarium to heal.
Right. They were kind of like a rehab of their time.
Right.
And the bathhouse they built in the basement, they truly believed that they built the bathhouse in order to pamper their guests.
Yeah. Yeah. But they back then, the whole bath thing was part of the healing process, too, because they would, you know, use the hot baths for certain ailments. They would use the cold baths for certain ailments. You know, they would do like the bath salts and some of those things too.
So you've kind of got some information, you know, on the proximity of when the building was built and what type of things that were going on there. When you purchased the building, how many years, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a year ago last July. So this July, it'll be 2 years. July 4th of 2017. Yeah.
So when did you start noticing that your place had paranormal activity?
From the first time I walked in the door.
Well, tell us about that.
That's kind of funny. I actually had a man contact me, sent me a message. It was kind of funny. He said, you know, I had the opportunity to buy that house at one time, but he said, me and my wife walked in the door, and she got the funniest look on her face, and she wouldn't even go any further than right in front of the door, and she turned around and walked back out. And he said, I made it to the second floor, but I could not bring myself to go to the third floor. He's just like, no way.
Now the
so
third
people that floor, are yeah, people that are sensitive pick up on it right away when they come in the house.
Now the third floor is where that apartment was that the woman's furniture got moved around, wasn't it?
Yep, that's correct.
See, I do pay attention.
Well, I, you know, we were talking about the history of the house, and then we kind of jumped forward. So one of the things we missed is the fact that after it was a holistic center and it then became a tuberculosis hospital.
Yep, yep, that's correct. Yeah, because like but it's kind of strange. I mean, the one doctor was quite a bit younger than the other one, but they both passed away in 1941, which is kind of strange.
Wow.
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, because Dr. Henderson was 75 when he passed, but Dr. Perry was only 56. And I recently found out that Dr. Perry had died of a massive heart attack at his doctor's office in Olean. They actually had separate doctor's offices. Dr. Henderson had a doctor's office in Salamanca, and Dr. Perry had one in Olean. And, you know, besides, I mean, they had Dr. Henderson owned two homes right in Salamanca, and so he didn't actually live there, but that's you know, where his place was. So it's kind of interesting. I keep finding out little bits and pieces here and there. It's been kind of crazy. But, yeah, it was a tuberculosis hospital in 1923. And I still have yet to find out how long it was a tuberculosis hospital. But I know, like, the antibiotics were discovered, like, in the mid-1940s. So, you know, that would probably explain why, you know, then it was no longer a tuberculosis hospital.
So at its peak, about how many patients would be there?
They said that there was room enough for 10 full-time patients. And then the bathhouse, you know, they would just have some regular clientele that would come and use the bathhouse, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, do we know...
And they actually, at one time, they actually tried to open up a second location in 1913. It was called the Sunnyside Sanitarium. And it wasn't too far from Wildwood either. It was between Salamanca and Little Valley. But they got, like, all the paperwork done and everything. And in 1914, it had a big fire and it burned. But then they didn't rebuild it. They ended up just selling the property to someone else.
After, go ahead. After being a tuberculosis hospital, I believe it sat empty for a little while.
Yeah, I think there was a couple times where it actually sat empty for a while. And, you know, it's been owned by different families. You know, it was a single-family residence more than once. And then eventually they made it into three apartments. And then it went back to a single-family place again. So there's been a lot of people in and out of that place over time.
How long had it sat empty before you bought it?
It wasn't empty when I bought it, actually. A family owned it, and due to some job issues and stuff, he ended up having to relocate to just a little ways away and ended up getting a job at another place. So he moved to that town, and his daughter was living in the place by herself, mostly like on the first floor. They pretty much had the second and third floor kind of somewhat shut off, and she lived there for a while on the first floor.
Okay. Now, you've been doing some renovation on the place.
Yep.
And since you've been doing renovations, have you noticed more activity amping up as you're doing the renovations?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. One, for instance, was there was one really, really bad spot on the roof, and we actually had to work on that like a year ago. Otherwise, there'd be a big, giant hole in the roof. Well, my son ended up, both me and him kind of worked on the roof, and he had to replace a bunch of wood and stuff like that. And the one day, we put in a long day, and there's actually a kitchen on the third floor, too. And we were sitting at the kitchen table, and we were talking, and he's like, Mom, he's like, I hated coming up here on the third floor. And he's like, well, you know, I had to like force myself to come up here to work on that roof. And he said, little by little, I've been getting more used to it. And then he said, I almost kind of like it up here. And right after he said that, the bathroom window right across from the kitchen exploded. It literally exploded.
Oh, wow.
Of course, the skeptical part of me at first was like, well, gee, maybe a bird hit it or, you know, something. But it had gotten dark outside. So I went to the window and I looked, and there was glass on the floor on the inside. But then I thought, well, I'm going to go look outside. And I looked outside, and there was glass on the outside, too. So if something had hit it from the outside, all the glass would have been in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
You know, I can't really explain it. It totally shattered. And that's just because it was kind of like an eye-awakening thing. It's like, okay. And then he also had an experience, too, where he had his arms full of stuff in the one room on the second floor. And he thought to himself, how am I going to open this door up because my hands are full? And right after he was kind of saying that and thinking it, the door opened up for him.
Oh, wow.
So there's been different things going on.
So do you feel that once you started the renovations that the activity picked up in the house?
I don't know. It's like over time it's been picking up a little more and a little more and a little more. I think now that they realize that they can communicate with us and we get their messages, that they're actually starting to talk more.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, we get really super intelligent responses back.
Wow.
That's amazing. And, you know, mm-hmm. the stuff, you know, that, you know, like I said, I've read, you know, about it over the past year, and, you know, was like, wow, this is really a great sounding location. And, you know, it fascinates me that, you know, the old sanitarium type things, you know, because they're, you know, a lot of them were, you know, for wealthy, or you know, more better off citizens, and you know, they were more like, you know, a spa by today's standards for medicinal purposes, and people were treated very well. And as Chris stated, you know, they built, you know, the bathhouses and the bathrooms, you know, down, you know, to make them feel, you know, more, you know, taken care of. Now, every location, every haunted location has, you know, some reoccurring spirit. Do you have any reoccurring spirits there?
Oh, yeah. We have children's spirits there. We have, there's a few different things. We have a little boy by the name of Tommy who comes around a lot, and he's kind of like a prankster. Like, he'll throw a ball, or I had one time where I was sitting in the living room and I happened to look over and a pop can went flying across the kitchen and then rolled around on the floor. I know that was him. We have a couple of older, grumpy old guys that are kind of there that
now
say a lot of different things. Sometimes they'll tell you to get out, or It depends if they feel like talking or not. Sometimes they can be very intelligent. In fact, a group that was there last weekend, we were up on the third floor, the one bedroom, and they were using their voice recorder, and they asked the spirits that were in there if they would say the word banana. And just after they said that, I had an ovulus 5 I was holding, and the word nana came over the ovulus. And then after that, with the voice recorder going, it said banana, banana.
Oh, wow.
It said it twice.
Wow.
So
that's...
we get a lot of intelligent EVPs there, like crazy EVPs.
Now, have you able to figure out who Tommy is?
Not exactly. We don't know if he was there when the tuberculosis thing was going on, or if maybe he was maybe one of the children of the people that owned the house at one time. Yeah, we're not certain. We haven't figured that part out yet.
Okay.
He's communicated with us about we'll talk about his mom sometime, that he's waiting for his mom. I mean, that's about it. That's what we've gotten.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
one of the older gentlemen's name is Charlie. We get him quite a bit. He actually, last weekend, he was all over the place in the sanitarium.
Now, what about, I remember reading something a while back about a woman who was a patient there who had burns on her legs, and you feel she communicates through there.
Yep.
Was it Linda?
Yeah, her name was Linda. Actually, Bernice Golden had a connection with her. It was kind of funny. I mean, actually, Dan had his geo box there, and we were talking to Linda on the geo box, and she was saying how painful the baths were because of the burns on her legs. And at the time, Dan had gotten a phone call, and he's like, I got to answer this because it's Bernice Golden. And she comes on the phone, and she's like, are you at the Wildwood Sanitarium? And Dan said, yeah. Why? What's with the woman with the burns on her legs? She actually had picked that up that we were talking to Linda on the geo box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, it's amazing and stuff. Have we able to validate who Linda is?
No, we figured she was probably a patient there that, you know, was healing from her burns.
And we have a room actually dedicated to her.
Yeah, we actually have a room.
As well as Tommy, we have a room dedicated just for him too. But Linda's room is actually called the doll room. I'm sure you guys have, like, seen pictures and stuff of all of our dolls and stuff in that room. And actually, the story behind that is we had a well-known TV show come in, Paranormal Lockdown, and they called us and had us take everything out of the building. I mean, we didn't have much in there, just a few things. We were starting to put stuff in because we were having our first ghost hunt on National Ghost Hunting Day. So we had a little bit of time, so not a problem, took everything out. And in that room, we had just a couple dolls and some toys and stuff because we were going to turn that into a little girl's room. Well, on the show, they got an EVP of a woman talking about where the toys go. Where are my toys? So
bring back the toys.
Yep, bring back the toys and stuff. So. We actually put all the dolls in her for Linda, and she'll talk about on the spirit box everything about the dolls and everything. So, and it's actually kind of a like little thing with the ghost hunter groups and stuff. They love coming and taking pictures with the dolls, and we actually have one in the room now. It's one of our newest additions. She was shipped to us with no return address, no explanation. She was just in a box. Showed up on the front porch. So.
Yeah, we've had people donate dolls to the place, so we kind of put them in that room.
Now, as far as you know, I mean, you're restoring the house, you're trying to restore, you know, being that it's on the historic trail, I know there, you know, you have to, you know, keep it to, you know, the period architecture and repairs and stuff. What about furnishings? Are there furnishings in the house? Are there period furnishings or anything that was, you know?
We have multiple antiques in the house. We're trying to get it as authentic as we can as time goes on. I mean, right now there's not too much stuff that relates to when it was the sanitarium. A lot of stuff that we have in there now is related to when it was apartments, because actually when it wasn't the sanitarium, after all that, it was turned into apartments. So we kind of have it set up like that. And we also have beds available so that when we do overnights and stuff, that our guests have somewhere to stay.
Okay. Nice.
Very nice. Good thinking.
Yeah.
One really cool thing we did pick up was, I mentioned Dr. Henderson had two houses in Salamanca. I actually had talked to the man that owns it currently, and I asked him if there was any old things he'd part with, and he showed me an old chair that was left in the house, and I believe it probably did belong to Dr. Henderson because it's a really, really, really old chair.
It even has, like, metal wire wrapped around it and stuff. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's really old.
So I believe that came actually from his house. So,
and we
do have an old... I got it the way it is, and it's sitting in the living room area right now. And it's kind of funny in that spot where I got it sitting. We have a couple pictures that are hanging on the wall
of like saints and stuff.
I can't for the life of me keep those pictures on the wall. They're always falling off or falling apart and falling on the floor. And it's been really hard to keep those pictures up on the wall where that chair is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We also had gotten a old pump organ from a church in Darien, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'd be around the same time frame, like late 1800s.
Yeah, that's what they told us.
So,
you heard any activity out of it? Or
not that I know of.
Okay.
Now, you're bringing in these antiques. Now, you had increased activity with the, you know, as you're doing the renovations. The more furniture and the more you set these places up, does the activity increase?
The spirits definitely react with the stuff that we have in the house. Like, coming back to the dolls again, Eric Knapp was actually doing a live Facebook video. He was by himself in Linda's room with the dolls. And he actually had a doll thrown on him on Facebook Live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And also, there was Amy. She runs with Para Expeditions.
Mm-hmm.
She had a group there and everything. And Jason, her partner, put a doll on the floor. And then Amy said, "You know, Tommy, I know you don't like all these dolls, so why don't you just kick this doll over?" And then the doll just went boop and just fell over.
Oh, wow.
So that was really awesome, too.
Well, what kind of somebody comes into, you know, from the town, you know, going back to that, and you said they all have stories. So what were some of the stories other, you know, that have kind of attached themselves to this house?
One that I thought was kind of cool is, so back in the 70s, it was a party house. I mean, what house wasn't in the 70s, everything? And we actually found this out because, again, this happens every single day that we're there or something. We notice there will always be cars going by really slow, sticking their heads out their window. Well, this old gentleman stopped and actually talked to us, and he said that he lived on the first floor apartment in the 70s. And he was talking about how everyone was there. It was a hot spot. Many people lived in the apartment. And he actually was joking around that one time during a party, he fell through the front window.
Oh, gosh.
And so just stuff like that. Like, a lot of people in the community have awesome stories about it. Also, another thing, like, we've heard of people talking about how the doctors would treat their patients badly. I mean, that was a lot of sanitariums in that day. We kind of think differently, because if you read articles and stuff, they actually, like, really cared about their patients. In one article, Dr. Henderson actually said that if we don't cure you, we'll give all your money back. You know, don't worry about it. If our treatment doesn't work, we'll set you up with someone that will, and we'll give you your money back. So, I mean, we kind of think that's not true, but...
Okay. Now, some of the... What about some of the creepy stories about the house? I mean, how did it's the house that everybody wanted to avoid. Why did they want to avoid it?
People just kind of, like, you know, in the movies when there's that creepy house, because, I mean, from the outside, it is pretty creepy. It looks like a big castle, and there's broken windows because of pigeons. Oh, they're nasty. But just stuff like that, it just looks creepy. It has a creepy feel. And I've even heard people say at school, call it the old abandoned stone house. They, you know, they don't realize what it is anymore.
Now, when you talk to your friends about the place, what do they think of it?
Actually, it's really funny. A lot of them think it's really awesome. I used to hide things from people at school. I mean, not tell them what I did on the weekends and stuff like that. But now, like, it's all kinds of cool. I actually have a teacher at my school, and she gets so, like, hyped up about it because she lives right down the street from the house. She lives right in Salmeca. And she sees it in the paper. She'll bring it in, show it to everyone. She got so excited for all the radio shows we've been on. And, a lot of them just think it's really awesome. Yeah.
But, you know, as you're talking to these, you know, these different people, you know, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they're intrigued by the, you know, about the stories of the house. They're intrigued, you know, it's the old creepy house, the old stone house. So now you guys take it over and turn it into, I hate to use the word attraction, but, you know, a place where paranormal investigators can come. And they could experience paranormal activity. They can utilize their equipment. You know, how do the neighbors, how does the community feel about, you know, is there a historical society in the area?
Yeah.
How do they feel?
And they support us fully.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
okay.
They've supported us. But the Cattaraugus County and Enchanted Mountain people that do the tourism for the county, they've been really supportive. If we have any events or anything, they'll post all about it. The historians love us. They have actually a part in their museum of our house, pictures of it and stuff like that. I mean, they love the house. They love that someone's actually doing something with it, because for a while, the people before us that owned it, they didn't have the money. They didn't have the time. They were getting older. Their kids were moving out. They just didn't want a part of it anymore. So people in the community are actually excited that someone's mowing the grass, just simple things like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we spend so little time at our house. I think our neighbors are happy when the grass gets cut.
Like, oh, someone cut the grass.
It sounds kind of funny, too, because a lot of the locals were like,
whoa, you know, I didn't realize that place had that history behind it. That's awesome. And, you know, more of the locals are kind of getting into, you know, having the place there.
Cool.
I mean, we were even told at one time that a different party was interested in buying the place to turn it into a gas station.
Oh.
To bulldoze it down and put a gas station there.
And the whole community actually, like, signed a petition against it.
Yeah, I mean, to lose history, and that's one of the things that, you know, that's happening, is we lose so much of our local history.
Yeah, and to tear it down and put a gas station would just be a tragedy.
Especially because we're on Indian territory, obviously. So, I mean, every corner you go right there is a gas station. So, I mean...
Well, you know what? We're going to take a short break, refill our tanks, and when we come back, we'll talk about, you know, what you've got coming up, how people can get in touch with you, and what they should know before coming to visit the sanitarium.
Okay.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. Our guests tonight are Lori and Brooke Wagatha. They are the proprietors of the Wildwood Sanitarium in Salamanca, New York. Fascinating story, incredible history, and a lot of paranormal activity. Right now, I got to remind everyone, we are the proud sponsors of Paranormal Kicks Cancer. Paranormal Kicks Cancer is a group that brings the paranormal community and enthusiasts together and hold events to grant wishes to kids with cancer. Each wish is usually runs around $500. It's an absolutely phenomenal charity. We were lucky, the REAP team was lucky to work with them last June and grant a wish for a young cancer child to, 18 months old, 2 years old.
Yeah.
And so we were able to send the family to Sesame Park.
Sesame Place. Yeah.
And it's amazing the work that they do. They do it all over the country. And we are proud to support Paranormal Kick Cancer. Check them out on Facebook. You won't be disappointed. Chris and Nicole are awesome to work with. Anything you can do to help them out, please do so. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. We'll be right back after this short break.
We'll be right back.
We are back. You're
listening. We are back. Thank you, Amy, for bringing us back.
Yes, sir.
We made it back.
We made it back. From the, from
is everybody still with us?
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reed. We are having a great time talking with Lori and Brooke. They are fascinating.
This is Paranormal Collaboration?
I think so.
I thought we were doing Spooky Talk.
No, that was last week.
Oh,
that we were guests then.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice when we get to be guests and we don't have to do anything. And that was a lot of fun. Maddie Smith is awesome. I'm a big fan of Madison.
Another under 18 investigator.
Yes. Yeah, under 18, under 16.
Yeah.
You know? And her dad takes her around, and that's great. So, you know, it's a phenomenal thing, and definitely look to, you know, more from her in the future. So we're back. We're having a great time with Lori and Brooke. We're learning all about the Wildwood Sanitarium, which I absolutely want to be there. I'm waiting for my invite.
You were already. Just a different life.
Okay. I was a patient.
Yes, you were.
I will find that
out. Not for drug and alcohol addiction. You got the electric bath.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Yeah, we're on break, and Chris is telling me how she's going to hook up an electric bath for me. Should I be scared?
I figure a third grade should do the trick, right?
Okay. Hey.
So,
all right.
Lori and Brooke, welcome back.
Hi.
Hi.
We have a lot of fun doing this show.
Okay.
You know, everybody likes to come on the show because they say it's, number one, it's funny. And two, it's very laid back, and we don't, you know, treat them like, you know, robots. Okay, boom. Here's the script, and we're going to ask you this.
Go!
Yeah. Go. You know, you get to talk a little bit about your own personal experiences, about the property, about what's going on. The renovations that you're doing there are amazing. And, you know, one of the reasons, you know, when Chris and I and Amy were talking about show ideas, which we always do, it was like, hey, let's do locations. The people who own the locations never get to talk about their locations. You know, so we're like, oh, great. You know,
I mean, we love our fellow investigators.
Absolutely.
We absolutely adore them.
And
but
we do. We get
what?
Great guests. So.
But, yeah, no one ever talks. I mean, so many times you mention a place, someone's like, what? Where? What? Who? What? Or I don't know where to go. You know, I want to go someplace different for a change. And they have no idea where to go. So by doing the series, you know, we're saying, hey,
check out
Wildwood. Check out Malvern
and
wherever else.
And the
we
thing
know.
That's interesting with the locations that we've got, most of them are relatively unknown.
Absolutely.
You know, or, you know, new to the paranormal scene. Well, you know, within the, in the past
that.
Few years. And we love that. And they all have history, which we love. So, you know. I want to thank you guys for, you know, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to kind of be on with us. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about how they could get in touch with Wildwood Sanitarium to take a tour?
So we're just going to do a little bit of a shout out. So Dan, the owner of the Hinsa House,
we love
he
him.
Does a lot for
we
us.
Love
we're very connected. Yep, we're very connected with him and everything. He actually books our dates for us for private groups and everything. So to get a hold of us to do private bookings, get a hold of him or our Facebook page. You can message us right on there, and we'll get you all set up with everything. Also, we help Dan out a lot. My brother is actually helping renovate the Hinsa House right now.
And doing a great job.
We, like, a lot of people call us the sister houses and stuff. He helps us out a lot. He's a really great guy, too. So definitely, like, if you're going to come out to both places, make it a weekend. Go to Hinsdale a day and then come to our place a night, you know, stuff like that. We always promote people to do that. And you might as well. I mean, they're about 20 minutes from each other.
Nice.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking to three people who absolutely love Dan Place.
Absolutely.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is one of the good guys in the paranormal. So.
Oh yeah. Yes, he is.
He is awesome. He wears
he wears
my root beanie and I wear his Hinsdale hat and we confuse people. We did a radio.
Yeah.
We did a radio.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, and Dan had his Reap hat on and I had my Hinsdale hat on. And I love it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. So people could get in touch with Dan, book your location. Pricing on what it is to investigate?
For right now, it's $300 for six people, and any extra people are $50. Where usually our times are like 8 o'clock at night to about 10:30, but, I mean, we're pretty lenient.
We're a little flexible
on
that, too, if people need to come earlier or stay later.
Yeah, we're really flexible.
We're pretty flexible.
And then we do run public ghost hunts, mostly during the summer. We do a couple during the winter and stuff, but those are $40 a ticket. And we'll also be doing overnights this summer, which will be $89 a ticket.
Nice.
Nice. Very good.
You know, that's great. We wish you a lot of luck on your future endeavors, what you're doing. And I know, you know, that our team has been talking about, you know, getting up there. And Dan's been telling us, get our asses in gear and get up there. And we have to get back to some stuff at his place.
We've also been doing some events also. We've done two psychic fairs so far.
This summer.
We have some local psychics that are actually very good. And we have, you know, some vendors come too also. And eventually we might even be doing some classes and some different things.
And like I said, we're planning on an Easter egg hunt for the kids too. We got that in the works.
That's really, you know, to get people. Really, you're really trying to make an impact on the community, and you know we applaud you for doing that. Watch your page for those psychic fairs that are coming up.
Yep, definitely. That's the best way to get a hold of our events and stuff is our Facebook page. That's the most that gets updated. We do have a website. It's just thewildwoodsanitarium.com, and that's pretty much it. Also. Our phone numbers are right on the Facebook page. You can call us personally. You can feel free to friend request us anything. We're really out there. We're not hidden people.
Yeah, you know, feel free to call us and, you know, with any questions or anything that way.
You know, it's excellent. I really, really appreciate you guys coming on and talking with Chris and I tonight, and Amy. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, as you kind of unravel a little bit more about the mystery and the history of the house. You know, finding more, you know, information is always great, and working with the Historical Society in the area. And, you know, we look forward to hopefully getting out there and meeting you guys and experiencing the Wildwood Sanitarium firsthand. Maybe I'll even come and meet.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe.
Your next psychic fair, if I can fit it in our schedule, maybe I'll come read.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
He's really good. He's very good. So, yeah.
So, we want to thank you for coming on with us tonight.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you both on the show. And,
of course. Thank you for having us.
We look forward to getting up there in the not too distant future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we appreciate you for coming on and giving us your time. Next week, we're going to continue in talking to haunted locations. And next week, we're going to talk to our good friends over at the 350 Cabin. Chris and I got to stay at the 360 Cabin. Dennis and Ryan had us come in to do a little investigating while we were there when we were coming back. On our trip through Virginia, and we stayed there and did the 360 murder house and the cabin and you know, another great location. That's it. Don't you know?
Yeah, my husband's scared of snakeskin, so.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. I know everybody. Bill's a big tough like big bad guy. Look at him. Blah, 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 blah. I went in the basement with Dennis, and there was probably a 3.5 foot.
Half snake skin.
Half a snake skin at 3.5 foot in the rafter.
I've never seen him go up a flight of steps.
And I'm like, and I'm like, you know what? Snakes don't bother me when I could see them. I'm not going to spend any time there. You know, and Dennis is telling us about, you know, oh, people have seen a very dark figure, a malevolent energy in this basement and all this stuff. I said, I welcome the malevolent energy to deal with. It's the big freaking snake that I don't know where the hell he is. Be like, bring me a demon. Get that snake out of here. I don't know where the snake is. That's bothering me. So, you know, and like to see that snake skin, and it's only half the snake skin. I'm like, where the hell is the other half?
And today, today I was looking up ball pythons and how much they cost.
But you know, so you know, it's another great location. Again, Lori and Brooke, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You.
We loved learning about your location, and we look forward to seeing you guys really soon. So tonight it was the Wildwood Sanitarium, 71 Prospect Avenue in Salamanca, New York. Look them up on Facebook. Check them out on their website. You know, you can friend Lori and Brooke and or book through Dan Cleese and, you know, get out there and investigate this haunted historic location. Thank you very much for listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap and Amy Green, our producer.
Have a great night, everyone.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, drum boy.